And let us move forward then to item 5, which is to consider and take possible action to accept the GASB 68 report from Siegel Consulting. So let's bring in our team. I know Andy's going to join us. There's Andy. Good morning.
Good morning, Tim Cotton and other members of the board.
Good morning. Gail, is Henry joining us or can I just not see him?
It does not look like he's on the meeting currently.
Okay. All right. Well, I just showed him as likely attending. So if he comes in, we can move him over. But without any further ado, let me turn this over to Gail and Andy for purposes of presenting the GASB 68 report.
Yeah, so included in the board packet is the GASB 68 report for the from Siegel Consulting. We do have Andy Young on the line if there are any questions relating to the report. And Brown Armstrong, Cicera's external auditor, has audited this report as well, and that is included in the packet.
Yeah, I think it's the first thing you see, actually. I remember reading the Brown Armstrong report before I got to the GASB 68 report.
And Henry Godino, Cicera's accounting manager, has joined us as well.
All right. Henry is in the house. All right. Good morning. All right. So Andy, did you want to summarize the GASB 68 report, or how do you want to proceed?
Yeah. So let me check on in the other members of the board. As Gail has indicated, this report has been audited by the auditors. As a matter of fact, we call it the companion report to the so-called GASB 67 report that we have prepared earlier back in June for the Retirement Association's annual comprehensive financial report. So basically what is, in a nutshell, what this report is required is to provide, using the so-called market value of a planned fiduciary net position, to determine how much assets we have in the plan versus the liability. There's a little bit of a difference between what you see in this report versus the unfunded actuarial accrued liability in our funding report, the one that Paul and I presented to the board back in August, because we have taken the membership data from not from December 31st, 2021, but rather December 31st, 2020, and rolling forward the liability. So we are allowed to do that because that's really the only way we can make it work timing-wise for the association's financial statement. Because we use market value of assets, so the very good news is that you will see that we actually have, in totality, more assets than liability in the fund, at least using the snapshot as of December 31st, 2021. However, you will see that we also require to disclose the liability for each and every employer. So not all employers are fully funded. Some employers still have a small amount of unfunded liability left in the plan. Because of that superior investment performance, even after taking into account the assumption changes, there's a reduction in the NPL, the liability. And as a result, because we use that reduction in the liability to calculate the pension expense, good news is it may not make any sense to the members of the board, but we are now providing pension income to the participating employer. So in the past, we would always add the pension expense, but now we actually providing a little bit of income on the employer's financial thing. So this is just the way the accounting works. So with that as a backdrop, I would just ask to see if any board members may want me to go through any of the pages in the report for you.
Are there any, Samson, yes, your hand's up. Go ahead. I think you're on mute.
Sorry about that. Still muted. So I was kind of flipping through the report, and specifically I was looking at slide 125, and I was looking at the pension expense section, and there looks to be a net decrease on the pension expense in the neighborhood of just over 48 million, and I didn't see any footnotes on that. Is that related to the pension bond obligation? Is it because of the merger? Is that a prepayment of some sort? Or unless I missed somewhere else in the report, is there any note as to why that was?
So board members, Wong, you would refer to page 125. Are you looking at the pages in our report? Are you looking at the packet?
I'm looking at the overall report. Okay. So this is page or 125, and this is the schedule of reconciliation of net pension liability for Contra Costa County Fire Protection District.
Oh yes, thank you. For that reduction is primarily explained by the superior investment performance. So it's we, as you are aware, we have almost a 14% rate of return on the market value assets basis. That reduction is primarily as a result of the investment performance during the
year. Right, but I'm kind of comparing that with the other, or that particular line item, as well as the net inflows compared to other agencies like Rodeo Hercules, San Ramon, and theirs seem to be more in line with the prior year, prior fiscal year. But for some reason, Contra Costa County Fire had that huge decrease in pension expense. So I just didn't know. I didn't see a footnote explaining where that might come from. And so if it's superior performance, why is it that, I mean, it just seems kind of odd that it's just specific to Confire as opposed to everyone else kind of performing along those same lines.
Yeah, so again, I think the reason that I said that would be its investment, and maybe another possible change is due to the assumption changes that we made, but I think primarily it's because of the investment performance.
Is there a companion? I don't have the electronic file open because it would take me too long to find it, but is there a companion number for East County that stands out? I guess I'm asking this to either Samson or Andy, that might help explain whether and to what extent the merger plays a role in this, because I think, Samson, that was part of your question, just wondering the why and whether that was involved in it.
Right. I noticed that EastCon is no longer broken out separately.
Right.
So I suspect it may have something to do with the merger. But again, without a footnote, I wasn't sure.
Okay.
This is Henry. EastCon was maintained separately. There's a section on it on page 130. We talked about that. The merger wasn't official until July 1 of 22. And so this report, it speaks about numbers as of December 31st, but it's rolled forward through June 30 of 22, the very last business day that EastCon was in existence.
Okay.
So that means, I agree with Henry, so that means that the first report that Siegel will be producing to incorporate the merger or the annexation of the two employers would be not until the next year's GASB 68 report.
Okay, that I think helps explain it a little bit. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other questions, board member questions or comments for Andy on GASB 68 report?
I have just a couple of comments. Thank you, Andy, for that presentation. 90%, if not more, of the purpose of this GASB 68 is for the benefit of employers. And so the minute it gets accepted, approved in today's meeting, we launch it out and send it out to all the employers, and they use some of the information on here to build their financial statements. You know, they close their books as of June 30, and they use some of this information from the report. They use the Brown Armstrong report. You know, it's assured that it's been looked at, audited, and reviewed. It's purely for employers for their financial statements, to how to break up the net pension liability. It uses an allocation, and that's it. And the work that we do here at Cicera, it's benefit because we pass on some of Andy's costs for Siegel and some of the Brown Armstrong costs, and we turn around and charge it to them. Otherwise, they would have to go out and pay an actuary and an audit firm to do all that work, and it'd be super expensive. So That's the administrative comments from Henry on this report.
Thank you, Henry. Appreciate that.
You bet.
Any, in light of that, are there any questions or comments for Henry and or Andy on GASB 68? I'm not seeing any. So let me do this. We're going to consider and take action on this. Do we have any public commenters who are in the queue who wish to speak on item 5?
Not at this time.
Great. Okay. Well, this is that time. So if there are public comments that on agenda item 5, this would be the time to present them. And if there are none, that's fine. We can move on to a motion if that is the pleasure of the board.
And I'll move to accept the GASB 68 report.
A second.
All right. We have a motion and a second to accept the GASB 68 report from Siegel Consulting. Any further questions or comments on the report? Seeing none, let's vote on the motion to accept. Anderson.
Aye.
Chabotarev.
Aye.
Finley.
Aye.
Gordon. Aye. Holcomb.
Aye.
Kroll.
Aye.
McDonald.
Aye.
Phillips.
Aye.
And Watts.
Aye.
Excellent. Thank you. The motion carries 9-0 unanimously.